this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about those much-needed feelings when we act. How do we conjure them, these feelings? Nothing more than feelings. I'll explain. An actor that I've worked with and is an avid listener of the podcasts asked me a follow-up question to my last podcast. And his name is Jason, and he basically said, well, you know, I can understand how when you walk into a scene, you know, in real life, that the feelings that you might have would be more easy to arrive at because, of course, it's real life and the consequences are real. But when we're acting and those consequences aren't real in the same fashion, how do we instantly conjure them? How can we just have them? How are we able to just arrive at them? And he's listened to a lot of what I've said about my theories about how we just decide things in life. We decide how we feel about things. But he would counter that with, well, yes, but again, it's easier in life. We decide, and that's how we feel because these things are real. Okay, well, first of all, therein lies the rub, Jason. Yes, of course, that's the thing. That's why this is called make-believe. That's why we call it make-believe. Now, I'm not saying that to make fun of your comment. I'm saying that to quickly sober us up to one thing we have to accept. This stuff ain't real. So we have to just, first of all, not even play any games with that. We have to accept that as the playing field. That's the way it is. So any idea an actor has that somehow we're going to get to, you know, where that ain't necessarily so anymore, it's just psychotic. And as I've said many times, we can't have that stuff on the set. We just can't have it there because we don't need that kind of lunacy. And we certainly don't want to pay for it as producers. And so, yes, definitely, this is make-believe. So then the question becomes, how do we use what is a similar method, let's say, in life of how we feel? Because I'm always talking about the real-life character. And how does that apply to acting? How do we use a similar path to get us there? Because, you know, I am, of course, someone who's constantly saying, you got to lose all these old school concepts. The main problem with traditional acting methods, and, you know, you can go back to a podcast I did called, I believe, A Short History of Acting Training and Why It Needs to Change. But in a nutshell right now, the basic problem with traditional acting is they believe you get where you need to go by taking an inward journey, you see. So they actually condone this obsession with your mechanism, how it works, you know. And so there are many things that come from that, right? It's like relaxation, because the idea is you've got to do this to do that. Of overthinking everything, of really breaking everything down, of looking at every word and really thinking about it and doing, you know, emotional inventories and emotional recall. And so we sit there, you know, just constantly stewing in this introspection of who we are. And when people sell that to you, man, you know, it seems viable. It makes sense. Of course. This is my instrument. I got to get in there and, you know, grease all the wheels and make sure there's no clutter and really know what's going on inside. Yes, I get that. And it's kind of sexy. You see, why I think it works so well commercially is because it's invisible. You see, it's a beautiful way to work with your customers, essentially. I can make you do this invisible shit. You see, you sit there and you're in your thing and you stare inside your navel and that's where all the answers are, you see. And I can send you on that journey. And if you don't come up with those answers in the scene, I can go back and blame it to that invisible journey you were on that stuff that I can't see. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're touching. I don't know what's happening in there. I've sent you on an inward journey. But I don't understand what the inward journey is when it has to do with acting. Because from where I sit, you see, it makes people become more self-obsessed than they already are. They are constantly worrying about their own mechanism, how it's working, what's happening, what they're feeling, what about this moment, what about that moment. And it really has nothing to do with the scene. Actors sit there thinking, what am I feeling? What is it I'm feeling? I'm not feeling it right now. And so I make a list. I make a list of things that should make me angry or sad or glad or bad, whatever it is. So I create lists. And I've said this before in podcasts, but again, this bears repeating. Do you really think that if you make a list long enough, suddenly you're going to be polar opposite to some belief you have? In other words, if you made a list long enough, would you suddenly decide to be a racist? How long would that list be? It's a fool's errand. What are you talking about? If you're not a racist and you don't believe in racism, yet in this part you have to do all these incredibly despicable things, what is it you think is going to happen that is going to make you suddenly feel that way about that stuff, right? Because if you don't lose your mind, and I said you can't, you cannot become some psychotic nutcase. So if you're not losing your mind suddenly, there are not a lot of options, you see, because you know that this is make-believe and it's not real life. Yet you want to actually be very angry about this thing, you know, you're going to be despicable. This is going to be known as one of the most despicable scenes, you know, that has to do with some sort of racism. Yet you are, of course, polar opposite of that, yes? So how do you get to those feelings? Okay, well, first of all, theoretically, you'd be wasting your time to look inside of you because, you know, unless you're the exception to the rule where one day you came to set and you had to play the part and it turned on a light and you thought, wait a second, I dig racism, I am a racist. You know, that could happen, a lot of people in the world. But let's pretend like that isn't on the list of choices. So that's not going to happen. So you're never going to have that kind of jumped to, like, you know, hyper insanity space that you're hoping for. So we get back to one of my original statements. We embrace the fact this is make-believe. It is make-believe. It is make-believe. This is not real. We're telling a story. Okay, but we want to tell it authentically. And I'm a big one for this. It's called the real life actor. I want this stuff. I mean, if we want to tell a story that really resonates, wouldn't it be great if all the actors in the piece actually seemed to be exactly what they were and were feeling exactly what they were purporting to feel? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Of course. And so we come back to the original question that Jason has. How do you just do that? Well, first of all, what we need to do is lose this idea that we're going to be continually doing emotional inventories as to how we're feeling in every second in the scene. That's your first mistake. Because that's not the point of the scene, unless it's the point of the scene. And if it's the point of the scene, yeah, inventory away. That's what we're filming. But let's say it's not. It's just a good old-fashioned, really shitty, horrible, racist confrontation scene. How do you do it? I mean, we need to do it justice, because for this to really be poignant, you know, we can't pull any punches. It's going to behoove us all that this thing resonates with the nightmare that it does in real life. Because we're telling a story here. And we need people to look right at what this stuff looks like. Let's assume that's the point of this particular piece. The first thing you do is you accept it for what it is, because you're an actor and this is the gig and you said yes. So now your job is to 110% portray that character for us. So that's that. There's no questioning. There's no, oh, here we go. How will I ever do this? Ah, that's not going to do you any good. So let's not do that. You said yes. You're professional, so we move on. So now how do we embody this stuff? Well, you know, like I said, you're not going to read a book or something, hopefully not, that's suddenly going to make things click and you're going to realize, hey, I don't have to make believe no more. I'm a racist. No, you're going to look at it. You're not going to sit in judgment of it and say, you know, I can never do this, because of course that's moot. So don't waste your time. And good, the world needs more people like you. You accept your point of view. It is what it is. And your justification of that point of view will more than likely be in the lines that you spout. And now here's the big one. And this is the thing, you see, that pulls the actor's head out of their own navel and focuses it outward. And that is, the trick is not to worry about what you're feeling. The trick is to make sure the other person feels it. Now stop and think about that for a moment. You know, that's actually what happens at the moment of impact, yeah? I mean, if we were going to put a horse before a cart, the horse would be, you need to understand something, fella. The cart would be your emotions. I say it all the time. People put the emotional cart out in front of the horse. It doesn't work that way, ever at all. Because you see, you'll become so preoccupied all the time, or aware or wary of how you're feeling, it's only going to take the juice from where it's supposed to be. You know, the fact is, in real life, if human beings spent as much time being completely preoccupied with the way they were feeling, they may not feel that way. This sort of introspection is something that if more people did and they really, really hammered through lists, why I care, why I don't, why I this, why, there'd probably be a lot less turmoil in the world. But that's not the way it works. We're not all Gandhi. That's not how it is. And so, you know, people get ticked off and then it's just tally-ho. I mean, if you sat them down and you said, hey, give me 20 things you don't like about that, you know, and they actually had to write the stuff out and read what they said, they might think, yeah, man, maybe I'm being an idiot, huh? This is what actors do. And this, to me, is the problem. This is it. It's so indulgent. It's so self-obsessed. It's so precious. It's so me, I. That's why these most acting scenes and classes, it always looks like people are just soloing. They're bringing in their moves, they're busting them. They're just doing it at the same time, kind of. But they're both hearing different songs, for sure. And so, how do we do it? If you think about it in real life, we are hyper-focused on making other people feel the thing that we've decided we feel. And I'm going to say it again and again. We decide, and we don't have to explain ourselves. We decide how we feel about things. Now, I know you're thinking, yes, but by simply deciding, that doesn't necessarily make me feel anger when that thing that I've decided I believe in or care about is being challenged. Yeah, I get that. So let me bring you back to one of my original statements. It's make-believe. There are a few tricks, okay? There are a few tricks. We have to use a slightly different alchemy to get to the end result. It's not the same because, as I said, you'd have to be crazy. So we don't want crazy. So how do we do it? Well, there's some things where we embrace what we're doing. There's a film crew right in front of us. Obviously, we are here. It's make-believe land. But within that world, you see, we then take on the task of getting to that result that's wanted in the most authentic way. And so how do we do that? Well, there are many things we can take from life. And other things we just have to push together and attach and just make it work that way. One truth is that if you pay more attention to what the other person in the scene is supposed to be getting from you in the sense of how I feel about something, I guarantee you, you're going to get where you want to be. That's how it is. The first thing we do is accept that that's how we feel about it. You don't wrestle with it. You don't convince yourself of it. That's a fool's errand. Stop doing that. Let's move on. And I think by moving on, what happens is we gain an incredible strength because we understand the game. This is what we do. This is who I am. Let's go back to my $1 million offer, where I offer to give you $1 million cash tax-free if you can just authentically carry out these little acting missions. Here's one. You're standing out in a yard, in front of your house, in front of your apartment, just somewhere, and the first car that goes by where the person looks at you and then pulls over and parks close enough to where you can walk up to them, I want you to tell them that if they ever give you that attitude again, ever, you ever look at me that way again, you say, it's going to come to a fight. And there'll be none of that attitude. Now, what did they do? Of course, they did nothing. You clearly, the idea in the scene is you got to be incredibly upset about it. And authentic. Essentially, what you're telling them is that you saw them, you know, look at you a certain way, you know, that attitude, and you won't have it. And, you know, it's going to end bad if you ever see that again. Something to that effect. Does this make any sense at all? No, it's not supposed to. It's insane. Because I want to give you an example of something that isn't so easily justified. It's just you're now going to walk up to someone and convince them it's going to come to blows if you ever see this guy looking at you the same way again. And if he says, how did I look at you and stuff like that, say, don't do that. Because that then it's just going to come quicker, my friend. And I mean, you are upset. You don't go near them. You just keep 8 feet away. We have people around that'll intercede and stop and say, this is all a social experiment. So it's, you go full bore. Okay, well, you know, to get the $1 million, the person has to believe you, has to completely buy what you're doing. So I would imagine your level of commitment is going to be as good as it gets, because this is serious business. You convince this person of this, you know, quasi-insanity that you have, they buy it totally. And then, you know, and the way we'd have a great test of it would be, then you would back off and you would go away finally, and then we'd have somebody posing as somebody who just watched it walk down, you know, with a little dog, terrier, and say, what was that all about? And if that person said, I don't know, this guy came and he looked like he was going to kill me, and la la. If he says, I don't know, I think this was some sort of acting social experiment. I think that guy was an actor. I think maybe this acting coach, Jeff Seymour, told him to do some bullshit. You know, okay, then you lose. But if it's the former, you win, okay? And so where's the disconnect? Where's the problem? Where do you have a problem? Are you really going to sit up at the top of the driveway like Hamlet, going over and over and trying to figure it all out? Whoa, please. No, you're not. You're not. You see, I'm not interested in teaching actors how to get inside and learn about their inside. It's a cheat, man. It is such an easy way for approaches and concepts to just get you mulling over inside. And then when you don't make it happen, when you cannot make that stuff work, I go, you know, you got to get in connection. And I send you back inside yourself again. And that's where you'll spend the rest of your career. That shit has nothing to do with what's going on in the scene, ever. Unless it's about a guy who's having acting problems and he's going inside all the time. Stop doing that. What's the scene about? What do you need to do? Oh, you're a crazy person who a guy glances at and then goes up and threatens his life? Don't tell me you would have any problem doing that. Really, would any of you? Come on, and if you say you would, then what are you doing being an actor? Get another job. Stop wasting your time. If you can't, for $1 million, tax-free money, tell someone who pulled over that if they ever blah, 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 blah again, you're going to blah, 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 and really own it, then, man, you know what? You just don't have the raw goods. Because I'm not asking you to do anything that you've never done. You've gotten upset, right? You've given people the business in no uncertain terms somewhere, someone, at one time or another. Certainly you know what it is. You've seen other people do it. You have it in your own personal iCloud. You've watched it. You've seen your parents do it. Someone's done it. So now just go do that. Like right now. Get it done. And then you can buy a house. What's the problem? Now, look, I know I bring the money thing up. It's not about money, man. This is my art. Stop that business. Okay. All right. Come on. You know what I'm doing that for. I'm not telling you we're all just whores. You know what it is? It's a lot of money, and it would probably cure most of what ails most of you. And, you know, money makes the world go round, and it's nice to have a place to live and clothes on your back. You can give it away to charity if you like. But what I'm saying is that is a powerful unit of measurement. And I know if you really stop to think about it, as I keep saying, if that was offered to you, this self-introspection would go away. The point I want to make is, have you ever noticed how your best shot is throwing caution to the wind and just getting the thing done? Now, is that a carnival trick? Not at all. That's real life. That's actually how this shit works. It's not this other bullshit stuff that gets taught all the time. Let's do an emotional recall. Let's go inside. Okay, here's what's going to happen on the second beat. Then on the third beat, God, stop. This stuff is so vomitous. I cannot believe that people are still ensconced in this shit. And I'm going to say it again. If there happens to be anyone listening, maybe for the first or only second time, still trying to get their mind around my blasphemy, and you are having an allergic reaction to what I just said, I might be wrong, but I'm guessing you don't have a lot on your IMDb page. How can I be so arrogant with a statement like that? Well, because, you know, my 39 years in the business, I've been paying attention, and most people that actually work in the business don't abide by that, you know, acting old school black magic. Very few anyway, but, you know, there are anomalies in all fields of work. So, the idea then is, and here's how it works. So we get back to, you have to focus on making the other person feel something. Now, does that mean that then you're just a void, an empty vessel of nothingness while you're acting? No, not at all. Because it is my theory, and it's been proven again and again, that when you start focusing on what you want the other person to feel, the emotion that you are discussing is backing you up. It backs you up. It is the heat you bring to the argument. It is the muscle you bring to the fight, your emotion. But you're bringing it. It's not in front of you. Our reactions to things are based on intellect and our view of the world. Some things that bother some people greatly, other people pay it no mind whatsoever. You have encountered this in your life. You have seen it. You have watched a friend of yours lose their goo over something, and you're sitting there thinking, what is the problem? Right? Okay, now why is that? It's your friend. You hang out with this person. Because just people, that's the choice they made. That's based on their, go all the way back. Their parenting, their household, their neighborhood, their kitty cat, their whatever. And then based on how they see the world and their sense of what they're willing to like and not like, abide by, not abide by, care about, not care about, a decision's made. Completely different from what you'd make. Why? Because that's how they see it. Things don't, you know, press buttons. Fingers don't come through the air and press a button at the back of our neck and make us think these things. These are choices. Precisely why you can be so angry about something at the second and then 20 minutes later think, yeah, whatever. What happened? How did the wind change? Why? Well, you thought it through and you figured, nah, I don't care about it. So you see this idea of trying to think about it to where, you know, the thing will suddenly overtake you and be some real life thing. It is like wanting to get into character because that's theoretically what happens. That is part of your character. And then your character takes you away. No, we don't get to pass the baton off. We don't pass it off to anyone. It's up to us. We have to do it. So what do we do? I just start making sure you understand, man, never to look at me like that again, or there's going to be issues. And we just go from there. We just start out and sit there the whole time with my thumb on my pulse, my feeling pulse. I didn't feel it on that word. Oh, that word, yeah, not so bad. Next word, crushed it. Next word, what happened? Lost my focus. This is the indulgent, precious, horseshit that actors do all the time. And honestly, it's easier to do this than get out there on the field of play and kick some artistic ass. That's the difference, you see. Well, hold on a second. I don't know. I like to go out there and do that, but I'm having a little issue. You see, the thing is, I don't know why I would do that. You see, I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, what? Come on, man. Am I making fun of any of you? No, not at all. I'm trying to sober you up. I'm trying to get you to just take charge. Understand what's going on. Accept it as you think. Don't wrestle with it. Don't think, oh, how will I ever? Don't take the gig then. Then don't do it. But if you do it, you owe your employer a really great kick at the can. So here's what you do. You say, okay, this is it. I'm a racist. I get to say whatever I want. I get to believe whatever I want. And let me tell you something. If I focus on making sure everyone else gets that I mean what I say right now when I call this poor fellow out and I tell him, is that, this, whatever, then I know I've done my job. And I promise you, when they yell cut, your heart will be pumping. You'll be going through it. How does that sound? Does that make sense? So then to recap. You accept the idea, the fact, that it's make-believe, that if you plumb the depths of what you feel in a scene, you will probably end up finding that it's ultimately all counterfeit because this is all fake. So don't do that. We're make-believe artists. Instead, make a choice about how you feel about the thing, what your concerns are, and don't look back. Stop questioning your resolve. Stop questioning, you know, the authenticity and what you feel. Stop questioning these things, right? And then focus only on what you want the other person to feel, what you want the other person to experience, what you want the other person to get as far as the emotional content of what you're saying or, you know, what you're feeling. Get them to feel it. And you will end up feeling the things you need to feel. That's how it works, folks. I betcha. Try it out. Let me know. Hey, listen, if you're enjoying these podcasts, do me a favor and, you know, share and like and subscribe and all those other groovy things that make the social media world go round. I mean, this ain't snake oil I'm trying to sell, folks. It's a much-needed product, and there's way fewer moving parts. So the chances of it breaking down are way less. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can now be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.